Well, we started a new series last week titled God's Word Is, and there's nothing more important that I can tell you as your pastor than this, that God's Word is all you need. God's Word is all you need. Do we have the graphics for those? Do we have the graphics? Yeah, we got it. Thank you, guys. I know this has been a crazy day. Aaron, thank you for helping Nancy out, and thank you guys for coming out. I know it's not so good outside. If you remember, last week we started at 40,000 feet looking down at the Word of God. Then I said something very profound, and some of you were like, had this look of, he is so smart. I said this, the Word of God is God's Word. And you're like, oh, man, he is so deep. And each week, we'll zoom in a little closer and a little closer to the actual Word of God and what it reveals. You see, God can be known. He wants to be known by you and by me. Like when we receive a gift, see, God won't force us to open it. He won't force us to open the gift of salvation. It's up to us to choose. The prophet Isaiah reminds us that God's thoughts and God's ways are not our thoughts or our ways. They are so much higher. Praise the Lord for that. I ask this question of all of us. What is your view of God? What is your view of God? Distant, silent, unfair, uncaring? Is he critical, judgmental, too busy? What is your view of God? Because your answer will reveal what's below in the surface of your life. You see, what I believe about God directly impacts how I live my life. What I believe about God directly impacts how I live my life. And God is asking you and I to search for him because he can be found. But we must sincerely search for him with all of our hearts. So that brings up the question, how do you search for God? Well, through his word. Through his word. He can be known through his word. There's a swinging water bottle challenge that people post online. Now, what you do is you hang a water bottle from your ceiling fan, and then you put on a blindfold, and you turn the ceiling fan on, and you try to guess when the water bottle is coming your direction. You try to duck so you don't get hit in the head or the face. Anybody seen that online? No? Okay. Well, my daughter decided that we should try it, so we did. So check out this video if it will work.
Okay, Mom, am I in? If I stand up, am I in?
Yeah. Oh.
Dad's gonna throw it. Dad, are you holding it?
Nope, you're gonna hit.
Is it going, Mom?
Barely.
All right. So this is what I thought I would do this morning. With some help of some ushers, we're going to put 12 water bottles on these ceiling fans. And if it hits you, you're out. That would actually kind of be a fun video. I think it would go viral and we'd be famous. It was my 35th birthday, and we were at church for an event. And after it was over, it was a Sunday night or something, and I was helping tearing down the stage, with this event, when six men from the church grabbed me and they pinned me down. And one of the men was a former Pittsburgh Steeler football player, and I resisted for a while. I mean, I put up a fight. I was getting rug burns. It took all six men to keep me pinned down. And one guy was actually kneeling on my back. And so I wasn't sure what was going to happen, right? But they blindfolded me, and they duct taped my hands behind my back. So do you remember that, hon? Okay. So don't get any ideas about duct taping me and getting me down on the ground. But they finally controlled me. I mean, I put up a fight. I was sweaty. They put me in the back of our minivan. And it was then that I realized I had this revelation, right? I wasn't a fan of being blindfolded and duct tape. You know? And then, it was uncomfortable. It makes me feel uneasy. I felt helpless. I was a little fearful. I didn't know exactly what was happening. Now, I think it's safe to say that no one would like to be blindfolded and forced somewhere unknown. You know, we see it on TV and then the movies, you know, someone gets blindfolded or, you know, a bag goes over their head and they don't know, so they don't know where they're going. And it disorients us, right? I think it's also safe to say that that hasn't happened to anyone here. Only me? Okay. There's something frightening about small spaces and darkness. There are many ways, that we can view the dark, ironically. Viewing the dark, ironically, right? Whether it's physical, emotional, relational, mental, or even spiritual. Naturally, we don't like to be in the dark, whether that's, indoor somewhere, whether it's in a dark cave, or someplace that you can't see. It makes us feel uncomfortable. It makes us feel uneasy and even panic-stricken. If you've ever been in a place, sometimes I'm the last to leave at night here, and you turn the lights out, it's kind of like, it's kind of too dark. You know what I'm talking about. As humans, we respond to and we need light. But there's other ways that we don't like the dark. Like being in the dark on an inside joke. Where everyone's getting a laugh at our expense. We're kind of in the dark. Or maybe it's the opposite. We like to be in the dark, so we're not responsible for essential information or something valuable, right? See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Just stay in the dark. What you don't know, right, might be good. Or maybe even we prefer being in the dark. So no one sees or gets to know us. We just kind of keep our distance. We lose someone close to us and we feel like we're in the dark. Emotionally, especially around the holidays, a husband comes home to a dark, empty house as his wife and kids have left and he has no clue that their marriage was that bad. Or life isn't going the way we want to and we slip into a darkness of depression. Maybe our view of God is that he's uncaring, and so we keep our distance from him, choosing to stay in the dark. How do we know if we're in the dark in some area of our life? How do we know? We can't see it, but how do we know, right? The title of my message this morning is simply, God's Word is Revelation. Revelation. Now, Merriam-Webster defines revelation as an act of communicating or revealing divine truth, something that is revealed by God to humans. Now, Scripture speaks of revelation as knowledge that that was formerly hidden, but is now revealed, declared by God through His Word and His Spirit. Now, revelation, to show us something we didn't know or see before, revelation. Not only is God's Word the Word of God, but the Word of God is revelation from God. From God. And as we look at God's Word, we're not at 40,000 feet in the air now, but zooming in at the words in this book, right? And how God's unveiled the truth to us. God gave us His revelation written down in His Bible. It's important that we understand what revelation means. You see, after Paul's radical conversion from putting Christians to death, right, he wrote this letter to the Roman Christians about this revelation and about this mystery of God in Romans chapter 16. It says this, "Let us give glory to God. He is able to make you stand firm in your faith according to the good news I preach about Jesus Christ and according to the revelation of the secret truth which was hidden for long ages in the past. Now, however, that truth has been brought out into the open through the writings of the prophets and by the command of the eternal God, it is made known to all nations so that all may believe and obey. So what was the secret truth, right? What was this mystery that was hidden for so long, long ages in the past? What was that? That we're not saved through good works, that we're all sinners. But it's through faith in Jesus Christ that he made us righteous in God's sight. And we receive salvation. We receive eternal life through him. Now the full revelation of this mystery has been revealed with the coming of Jesus into the world. And we just celebrated Christmas, right? When Jesus came at Christmas, I mean, I said it before, he literally changed everything. Again, while writing in prison, Paul goes on to speak about this mystery. In Ephesians chapter 1, God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Jump down a couple of chapters in chapter 3, verse 3. God showed me his mystery in a revelation, as I mentioned briefly before. When you read this, you'll understand my insight into the mystery about Christ. Earlier generations didn't know this hidden plan that God has now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets through the Spirit. See, Paul didn't learn this mystery from any teacher, but this mystery was made known to him by revelation directly from God. And this mystery is that God will one day unite all things in Christ. That Christ is the head over everything. He's the head over everyone. And this mystery wasn't known to generations before Christ. Only when Christ came was the mystery revealed to the apostles and the prophets by the Holy Spirit. So we can be certain that the Word of God is revelation from God. But to get more practical this morning, God has also revealed himself in his creation. When we see an amazing sunrise or sunset with brilliant colors, we were driving here today and we saw a vertical rainbow. Did anybody see that? It's like, keep your eyes on the road. It's so beautiful, right? When we went to Utah a few years ago, we went to and saw the Canyonlands in the Arches National Park. Now, you know, if you've ever been someplace amazing, pictures don't give it justice, does it? But the grand scope of the immenseness of that, and if you look at the arch picture, the little people there on the right-hand side, that's my family. That's how huge this thing is. And you're just in awe. It's breathtaking, right? How massive and overwhelming its beauty. You can't help but say, man, God is creative. He's awesome. King David wrote a lot of songs of worship and adoration to God, and you can sense the awe and the wonder when he penned these words in Psalm 19. The heavens tell the glory of God, and the skies announce what his hands have made. Day after day, they tell the story. Night after night, they tell it again. They have no speech or words. They don't make any sounds to be heard, but their message goes out through all the world. It goes everywhere on earth. The sky is like a home for the sun. You see, without saying a word, the skies tell the glory of God. You look up and say, that didn't just happen. Somebody created that. And we see God's revelation not only in creation, but throughout history and in the human conscience even. The Apostle Paul, he was a smart dude. He was a smart guy. He wrote half the New Testament. He declared in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. I'm convinced that people know that there's a God. They just don't want to admit it. Deep down, they're hoping, right, that there is a God, that there is a just person, but publicly they don't want to acknowledge him as God. You see, as science continues to discover the wonder and the majesty of the vast universe, you know, the planets, the earth, and even the oceans, it all points to an amazing and powerful God. The Bible is not just a revelation from God. It's also a revelation of God by God. Let me say that again. The Bible is not just a revelation from God. It's a revelation of God by God. God chose to reveal his revelation to all humanity throughout through the authors of who wrote the books of the Bible. And without the revelation by God, the knowledge of God would be impossible. God's revelation unveils the truth. God's revelation unveils the truth. We have this book. People without excuse now. They have the truth. You see, there's more to this book than meets the eye. You might be intimidated to read the Bible. You might not understand how to study the Bible. You might approach Scripture as take it or leave it, right? Or maybe you've read it a bunch of times before, but it's precious to you. This thing you maybe the older you get in your walk with the Lord, it becomes more and more precious because you begin to rely more and more on the promises of God. Revelation means that God's word does more than describe a particular event or a story that we read. God's word also provides understanding as the event is interpreted in the bigger context of redemption or salvation. There's a reason, right, why it's in the book. God's revelation goes way beyond our human reasoning. Instead of it just being an old, ancient manuscript, you know, I want you to see God's word, his revelation, because it's God's revelation to humanity, to you and me. There's no other book in history that is alive and active. Listen again to what David said about God's word in Psalm 19. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true, each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are like a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey him. It revives your soul, gives wisdom when you lack it, brings joy to your heart. It gives insight to how to live your life. I mean, who doesn't need those things? We all do, right? God's word is true, and it's fair in your life. It helps you avoid trouble, and it gives you rewards when you obey it. God's revelation unveils the truth. When we come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, it's like the blindfold is taken off. And we can see and we can begin to understand what's in here. Do I understand everything in this book? I don't. And I study it and I read it, but I still have to, I can see though, I can see. It's been revealed. It was at the end of the year, and a kindergarten class was receiving Christmas gifts from her pupils, this teacher. And the florist's son handed her a gift, and she shook it, and she held it over her head and said, I bet I know what it is, some flowers. That's right, the boy said, but how did you know? Oh, just a wild guess, she said. The next pupil was the chocolate shop owner's daughter. The teacher held her box, her gift overhead, and shook it and said, I guess I know what it is. It's a box of chocolates. That's right, but how did you know? Right, asked the girl. Oh, just a wild guess, said the teacher. The next gift was from the son of the liquor store owner. And the teacher held the package overhead, but it was leaking. And so she touched a drop of the leakage with her finger and it touched it to her tongue. And is it wine? She asked. No, the boy replied with some excitement. The teacher repeated the process, taking a larger drip of the leakage to her tongue. Is it champagne? She asked. No, the boy replied with more excitement. The teacher took one more taste before declaring, I give up, what is it? And with great glee, the boy replied, it's a puppy. I'll let that hang there for a little bit. The truth was unveiled to this teacher, right? It was a real revelation. I got to say this. God chooses the content of what is revealed because he's God. He's God. This might help us this morning. Deuteronomy 29:29 says this. Some things are hidden. They belong to the Lord, our God. But the things that have been revealed in these teachings belong to us and to our children forever. We must obey every word of these teachings. God is asking that you obey every word to what he's revealed. God's revelation unveils the truth so you can know him. You can know him. What is God asking you to obey, teenager? What is God asking of you parents and grandparents? Is he asking us to, what's he asking of us in our marriage, in our families? God's word is revelation. And as a follower of Jesus, we were once in spiritual darkness. We were once in spiritual blindness. We had the blindfold on and we couldn't see, right? Our way because of our sin. But Jesus shed his blood on the cross and died and opened our eyes to his loving grace. And today we believe that the word of God is God's word. We believe that God gave us his revelation, the Bible. Or maybe you aren't a follower of Jesus. I don't want you to miss an opportunity to get right with God today. This is my prayer for you. Ephesians 1:17 says this, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation that makes God known to you. God can be known. This is the way to know him. This is the way to know him. We can go out in nature and see God if we admit that there's a God, there's a creator. But God wants us to get into this book to know him, so he can reveal himself to us. So after they put the blindfold and they duct taped my hands behind me and they put me in the back of our minivan with Julie and the kids in on the prank, we all caravanned to a local restaurant where they took off the blindfold and the duct tape and we celebrated my birthday. I told the kidnappers, you know, that I would have gladly gone to the restaurant without a blindfold or duct tape or rug burns. That would have been great. But in the moment when they took me down and I didn't know what they were going to do, I remember the sheer adrenaline pumping through my veins. It literally took six men. And I'm not strong. I'm not like this, you know, but it took them to hold me down. And in the moment, I didn't put two and two together that what they were doing, something for my birthday. I didn't put that together, but I put up a good fight. I had a revelation. They did all that to celebrate my birthday. And just as what I believe about God directly impacts how I live my life, what I do with God's revelation will either keep me in the dark, the blindfold, or it will open my eyes. What I do with God's revelation, what I do with it, will either keep me in the dark or open my eyes to see. I want you to know that God's revelation is in this book so you can have a relationship with him. My question is then, will you stay in the dark in your sin or will you come into the light of God's revelation? What would our marriages and families look like if we lived with our spiritual eyes open to God's revelation? What would our church and our community look like if we lived out the revelation of God, if we obeyed his word? Revelation.